Okay, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going to continue here. We're in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Paul was saying, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And of course, that would be any but the power of God himself. Meat for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Basically here, in the strongest terms that Paul can put it, warning against fornication of any kind. Know what he says? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Flee fornication. Repeat it there. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Plainly, we have a lot of people out there that call themselves Christians, and some of them have no clue what it means. Some of them just think, well, my parents were Christians, so I'm a Christian, so they keep going to the same church that their parents went to, never pursuing the Creator, but continuing to pursue the things of this world, because most of those same people, not only did they grow up in a church that their parents went to and attend that church, and feel the need to continue to go to that church every Sunday, but also they spent much more time being schooled in the world. And then after spending, 6 to 8 hours a day being schooled in the world, and just when you think of school, think of a school of fish, and think of the buildings that they send them to every day as a big fish tank. Is you just getting schooled in the world, and you get to swim the way the world says you should swim. When the bell rings, you swim from one compartment to another, and it has some people that wonder, I don't have time to, I can't spend 6 hours a day teaching my children, their defense against having to homeschool. And then you tell them, well, I said, how much time could you spend if you were to do it? And they say, well, maybe 2 hours. I said, good. See, you can do it. Because, depending on how many children you have, because after a while you'll find out that, 2 hours, you can get it all done. You get the schooling all done because, most of the time for public schooling is spent traveling and waiting in the fish tank and swimming from one compartment of the fish tank to the other. Yes, and expend all this energy moving around with the other fish, because that's basically, what you're learning is to be peer connected and disconnected from anyone who's not in your age peer group. You're learning segregation. See, all these little things you're learning, I believe, are there by design to separate you from your family, to make you peer dependent, age group dependent, dependent upon the teachers rather than your parents, and getting you out of your home and from being a productive member of your household and your family and your family government, also to tear down family government, and to become a good little citizen. And if that isn't enough, all of those things are reinforced in the secular and paganistic movies and everything that is pushed out there in the society and, you know, the media, the radio. Because most people, they'll never listen to a radio program like this one. And just go thumb through your dial and you'll find out that 95% of the stations out there are dedicated to the idolatry of romance. That's right. The love between a man and a woman and the freedom of the love between men and women. And then if that ain't enough, you go to the movies and the same thing. You got to have a romantic theme because this is the highest thing in the world is the love between a man and a woman. You know, that's the highest thing in the world. So they idolize it, they raise it up, and they sing songs about it after song after song after song and over and over and over again. And it just goes on and on. So that's what's out there in the world. And like I said, they reinforce it in the movies. And some of it seems pretty clean and then some of it is just downright filthy and awful, terrible. And evil, I should say. So here we are, talking about the world and fornication. And no, I was talking about homeschooling, and the main argument is I don't have 6 hours a day. And like I said, it doesn't take 6 hours a day. You'd be surprised at how much time is wasted in schooling, getting you to move around with the rest of the fish in the fishbowl. But we are bought with a price, and most people that call themselves Christians are not. But they say things like, I gave my life to Jesus and now it belongs to him. But you are bought with a price. If you really gave your life to him, did you give it to him? No, he purchased it with his blood. He purchased it with his blood. You belong to him. And if you belong to him and he is your master, shouldn't you be doing the things that he says to do? And shouldn't you not be doing the things that he says not to do? If he says to be separate from the world, should you not be separate from the world? Should you not be homeschooling your children? Should you not be building the kingdom of God? Starting with your own household and your own kingdom family government, according to his design, according to his law and his word, for you are bought with a price. You are not your own. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Oh, but God wants me to be happy. So he understands why. You know, I have to, you know, break his law because I wouldn't be happy if I couldn't. The people justify everything they do by simple little things like that. Certainly, he is a God of love and he wouldn't want me to be unhappy. Oh, yes, your happiness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that trumps the law of God, doesn't it? Oh, but the law was nailed to the cross, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. And it makes me happy to celebrate Ishtar. Oh, it makes me happy to send my children off to this public fool system to become good little pagans in the world. That's right. And to learn the idolatry of romance. And, you know, I talk about the idolatry of romance and it offends so many because so many people are so steeped in romance and the idolatry of romance. They are so schooled. They are so mind controlled that to them, romance is the highest thing that there is. You even go on the so-called Christian websites where men meet, you know, you have marriage prospects or whatever. And they just, every single one of them, romance is what it's all about. And none of them care about the law of God, because of course that was nailed to the cross, and they've been indoctrinated very well by this antinomial teaching that is anti-law. They're against the law. Basically, it is anti-Christ, because Christ is a king, and the king brings his law. And the king said, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And you know, he said that at a time where the only word of God that there was the Old Testament. The only thing we could look to and go, what is the law of God? What are his commandments? Well, that was plain. They had the book. They had the book of the law. We could find out what pleases our Heavenly Father. Does he still think adultery is a bad thing? Well, yes, he does. How about theft? Is that still a bad thing? Yes, it is. All of the commandments, yes, you know, our God, he does not change. Our Creator hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They like to say that one. Jesus Christ today is the same today, yesterday, and forever. But they don't believe it, do they? Not if they believe that the Messiah was God in the flesh. And if he never changes, well, then how come they live and they believe and they live their life and act as if he has changed? Because they believe the lie. They believe the lie. And they're idolaters. They worship at the feet of romance. And I think the biggest image to romance is standing over there in that harbor in New York, and they call it the Statue of Liberty, because they have liberty. They don't have to follow God's law. They hear that, what, young women out there? You're free from your parents. The state will give you liberty to marry against the will of your parents. That's right. They will give you license. They will give you liberty. Romance is liberty. It liberates you. You don't have to marry according to God's will. You don't have to marry according to obedience to God's law, obedience to your parents. You have license. It is more important for you to marry the one that you love. Just like all of the romantic movies, you know? In romance, you marry the one that you love. That's right. You fall in love and then you get married. In agape, you get married, then you love the one you're married to. Because in romance, that's why it doesn't work in romance. You fall in love, then you get married. Well, then reality comes about and you find out that all of those romantic notions of love are not reality. And then you have to get down to the hard work of loving that one that you married. A little bit different, isn't it? And in romance, well, you know, if you're not in love with your husband anymore, or you're not in love with your wife anymore, well, and you've kind of fallen in love with someone else, you should really be with the one that you love. That's what the movies show us in romance, isn't it? And everybody gets on the side of the one. Oh, yes, she should be with the one that she loves. Not with that old, mean old guy that she doesn't love anymore. And, oh, he looks so desperate, trying to save his marriage, and jealous of his wife being with another man. Oh, that's no good. He should just get over it. That's right. Because, after all, his wife really loves this other man. That's how romance works. That's the idolatry of romance. That's where it all leads. Yes. And romance is idolatry. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. How do you glorify God in your body? And in your spirit, which are God's. How do we glorify God? Do we do it by fornicating? Do we do it through the idolatry of romance? Do we do it through adultery? Do we do it through embracing all of these things of the world? Or do we glorify God by living a life that's pleasing to Him, by calling Him Lord, Lord, and doing the things which He commands? If you love me, yes, the words of Jesus, the Messiah, if you love me, you keep my commandments. His commandments have not changed. And some people go, well, yeah, but he said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And they end it there. And that's true. But he didn't stop there. He says, for on these two, loving God, putting that's first, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Because you have to love your neighbor the way that your heavenly Father, the way that God tells you to. And how does he tell you how to love your neighbor? Well, you read his commandments and his law. That's right. Because he said, on these two, love God, love your neighbor, hang the law and the prophets. So what's he talking about, the law and the prophets? Of course, he's talking about the Old Testament. You want to find out what pleases God and what displeases God? You read the Old Testament. And it's clear, when you read the whole thing, you get the big picture. This pleases God. There's good examples in there, and there's bad examples in there. There's examples of people who pleased him, and there are examples of people who don't please him. And there are examples of people who pleased him, made mistakes, terrible mistakes, and repented, and still pleased him, yet paid for those mistakes. Good examples for us. You want to learn how to love your neighbor? You want to learn how to love God and love your neighbor? Go to the law and the prophets. That's what Yahshua, Jesus, said. He said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. And that's why I always say that. That's why the scribes and the Pharisees were condemned by Christ. Because they had the law and the prophets, but they didn't have love. They didn't love God and love their neighbor. They were just keeping the law. So the law fell down, right? Because they didn't have the love God and love your neighbor. Because the law hangs on those, so if you don't have to love God and love your neighbor, the law falls flat. But what happens if you just have love, but you don't have the law? The same thing. You're going to fail and fall into idolatry. The same thing that they did. You got to have both. Because he says, on these two hang the law and the prophets. You want to learn how to love God. You want to learn how to love your neighbor. You have to love your neighbor God's way. Because the world's way is romance, loving your neighbor. She really loves him. Or for the homosexual, you know, their way of loving your neighbor is a little different than God's way of loving your neighbor. You know, we don't want to go there. So we have the law. We have the prophets. Now, let us read. Let us understand. We love our neighbor God's way and by loving him first. And we do only the things that he says, only the things that please him. Because when we're pleasing him, then we are truly loving our neighbor. Because we're living our life in obedience to our Heavenly Father. Let's move on to chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. So obviously someone had some questions about the whole man-woman thing. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband, as opposed to a man having another man's wife or a woman having another man's husband. You'll notice he emphasizes this. It doesn't just say let every man have a wife, but let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. And I'm looking at the Greek here for the Greek 2153 for benevolence. We might want to look into that. Yoneia, from the same as G2132, kindness. Oh, kindness. Be kind one to another in your marriages. I've had had some bad experience with a very unkind wife. And it's something that is hard to live with. Be kind one to another. And sometimes it's just impossible. You return kindness for unkindness, and you just get more unkindness. It could be a terrible thing to have to live through. I'm sure there are people out there that have experienced that type of thing before. Benevolence, and also he puts here, our good friend Strong here, euphemistically, conjugal duty. Benevolence, goodwill. Goodwill and kindness. And yes, that would be part of kindness. And we'll spend a lot more time on this when we get back. I have a little bit of experience in marriage. Some good, some bad. So I can share quite a bit about it. Sometimes the best way to learn something is the bad way, the awful way. The hard lessons of life can teach us very well. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned for the news.